we get things underway this afternoon, well, by doing a very spring-like thing, and that's talking baseball as we welcome back to the program from The Athletic, where he's the host of Fantasy Baseball in 15, fantasy insider and all-round good and smart guy, Al Melchior. Hello, Al.
Hello, Rich. Thank you for that introduction.
Always great to have you with us. We're going to talk about the podcast, too, before we wrap up. But let's get to baseball first as people get ready for hopefully a somewhat normal fantasy season. I guess the first question is, how do you gauge the value of 2020 statistics?
Yeah, well, I figured that would be a question here. That really is the question. And annoyingly, I'm going to say it's a bit of a case-by-case basis, but if we have to go with the general rule, it's to heavily discount it, just because there are so many players who were performing at a level that's just so unlike what we're accustomed to. And, you know, we'll never be exactly sure why that is. We can certainly chalk some of that up to the much smaller sample of innings or plate appearances, but there are also players who, you know, reportedly were really thrown off by the schedule last year. In some cases, players who had to deal with COVID. So there's no shortage of reasons that we can attribute to outlier performances to. So unless you've got a really good reason to take that 60-game sample seriously, I would put a heavier weight on what that player did in 2019.
All right, well, now this was probably more about the fact that the Red Sox were so god-awful last year, but I found myself watching less baseball than I think I ever had. Consequently, as I began my draft prep this year, I spent a lot of time going, who's that guy? There were some unexpected rookies who made appearances last year, likely because of the whole COVID situation. So who are some of the people that may have slipped through the radar? Who are a couple of guys who got more playing time than expected last year and people may not have on their radar?
That's a good one, Rich. I thought you were maybe going a different direction with this because, you know, there are certainly, you know, like there were rookies last year, like Spencer Howard, for example, who played a pretty prominent role with the Phillies, but, you know, may not play as prominent of a role this year because, like you said, they were, you know, called up to fill in this very unusual circumstance. So, you know, while we may have been looking for players like that to make mark, you know, there's somebody like Bobby Witt who may surprise us all and play a big chunk of the season at the big league level this year. But I guess, if, you know, one name of a player who maybe went a little bit under the radar last year is Bobby Dalbec.
Yes.
He's just hitting for a ton of power in spring training. And, of course, now you can, you know, watch him locally. But he's probably not going to hit really high up in that Red Sox order, but the power is certainly legit and he's not really getting a whole lot of attention in drafts so far. So that's certainly one name that comes to mind.
Yeah, a guy I was looking at the other night who came up and pitched pretty well last year is Dane Dunning.
Yeah, and, you know, again, he, you know, this is my personal bias because I've had him in some keeper leagues. So, he wasn't necessarily somebody I was expecting to see last year. And, of course, now he's switched teams and gone from the White Sox to the Rangers, and with the Rangers not having very much pitching depth, he ought to get a good share of innings there. So he's somebody that I do like a lot. And, yeah, he probably is going a little bit under the radar.
I had Dunning, Al, and I actually traded him right before our roster deadline because I picked up a guy that didn't have great numbers last year, but the peripherals looked kind of interesting to me, and I think he might be a candidate for a surprising year, Baltimore's John Means.
Yeah. Now, there are a lot of people in our fantasy punditry industry who really like Means a lot, so depending on who you get your advice from, you may have a lot of company in trying to get Means on your fantasy roster, but yeah, I like him a lot, too. Not necessarily going to be a great pitcher for strikeouts, at least in terms of a rate, but in that Orioles rotation, he ought to log plenty of innings, you know, relative. I mean, this year, I think starting pitchers in general are going to pitch a little bit less, but relatively speaking, I think Means will turn in a lot of innings with probably a pretty low ERA because he's really good at managing contact. So, yeah, I like Means a lot as well.
We're talking with Al Melchior here on Downtown. All right, how about bounce back candidates here in Red Sox Nation? Fans hoping J.D. Martinez is one of those guys, but who else had some disappointing numbers last year, but their history tells us we should expect them to return to the mean?
Well, so you're talking just in general, not just the Red Sox?
Right, right.
I'll tell you one, there's a lot of players who had really unusual batting averages in one direction or the other, and that's the stat you probably should trust the least. In a short stint like that. So he's Eugenio Suarez. Not that he's any kind of well-kept secret or anything, but I still think he may be slightly undervalued because he's coming off of a year where the batting average was low, but the skills were all still there. So I think as far as hitters in that category do for a big bounce back, there's him and Christian Yelich. I mean, he can't possibly, perform the way he did last year for a second straight year, knowing what we know about him. So I think Christian Yelich is probably due for a big bounce back. And he's gone in the first round, but you may be lucky and be able to get him if you've got the 10th, 11th, 12th pick. I've seen that happen in a number of drafts. So he's being undervalued, such as it is, for a first-round player.
All right, how about my guy from the Minnesota Twins who was just awful last year, Mitch Garver?
Yeah, and actually, this is you started to ask that question. I was thinking, I should have talked about Garver. So that's perfect. And he's an interesting one too, because you would think after such a miserable performance in 2020, and then the Twins having a really good catching prospect coming up in Ryan Jeffers, that Garver may have missed his window. But we talked on the Fantasy Baseball 15 podcast with Dan Hayes, who covers the Twins for The Athletic. And he was saying that he thinks that Garver's going to get a slight majority of the time behind the plate still this year. So another case of somebody who definitely hits for power. Power skills are still there. I don't know why he had more trouble making contact last year. But again, we can speculate on the reasons for any given player. But I like Garver a lot this year. Picked him up in a couple of leagues. But the playing time for a catcher, I mean, there aren't too many that are going to play two of every 3 days. So the playing time will be all right for him, and I think the numbers will be there for him as well.
Now, what do you think is the most scarce commodity in fantasy baseball in this coming season?
Steals are always hard to come by, to be sure, if you're playing in a league. And most people still do, play in leagues with saves. I think high-volume saves relievers are becoming increasingly a thing of the past with there being more fluid roles. But probably the thing that's going to be most in scarcity of all, I think, are going to be workhorse starting pitchers. Pitchers who are going to give you 180, 190 or more innings. Partially because everybody's coming off of a season where nobody pitched a full season or even anything close to it. And whatever players were doing, in the meantime to, keep themselves ready, it's probably not any kind of substitute for game action. So I think you're going to see fewer and fewer of those pitchers that are really going to give you the kind of innings you're used to getting from your number one or your number two starter.
Now, does it make sense to chase speed and go get a guy who may be a one-category player, or are you better off to try and get a lot of guys who will chip in with maybe a dozen, 15 steals?
All things being equal, Rich, I prefer the latter because it's hard to catch up in other categories if you're going for a one-dimensional player. And, it's a question, too, is it really a one-dimensional player? Or, for example, somebody like Nick Madrigal, who I've actually been very, very happy to draft this year because I think he's probably going to hit for a high average. I think there's a good chance he's going to be a 300 hitter and score some runs as well. So, not necessarily going to help you, well, almost certainly not going to help you out power-wise, but not really a one-dimensional player either. So, if we're talking more along the lines of, a Malik Smith-type player who doesn't necessarily have much of a role this year, but, that sort of player that gives you steals and only steals, Jerod Dyson perhaps in that same category, I think you're much better off getting 9 here, 10 there, 7 with this other player. It's really a draft-by-draft basis. In terms of how your first few rounds unfold, because if you don't get those players with pocket steals early, then you do need to find the Nick Madrigals out there.
If you're in a draft league, Al, how long should you wait before you grab yourself a closer, given the fact that so many of them that start the season in that role lose it by, I don't know, sometime in May?
Yeah, this is the conversation I had with my colleague Michael Beller on the Athletic podcast a couple days ago. And we were very much in agreement that, we like to go late for stakes. So basically, there are probably going to be very few situations where I would see myself going after, a Liam Hendricks type or a Josh Hader and really going early enough or expensive enough to get somebody of that ilk. And there's really, there's only a handful, maybe five or six at best. So I'm happy to wait till round 10, 11, 12, and I have been most of my drafts so far, and get somebody like perhaps a Brad Hand or a Joaquin Soria, who isn't necessarily going to have all the job security in the world. They've been somewhat inconsistent, but they're kind of the next tier down. So I'd rather secure one reliever in that group and then really wait almost to the very end and just speculate on a bunch of players who are in the closer mix, have great skills, but aren't really guaranteed of anything.
All right, before we let you go, also have to talk about your wonderful podcast. I was honored to be a guest on it. Can you fill people in on You, Me, and an Album, which is just such a great concept?
Happy to, Rich. Glad you asked me about that, and it was an honor to have you on the show. So this is a podcast that I started late in 2020, where I do it once a week, and I have a different guest on each time. And that guest, just as you did, introduces me to an album that I either don't know at all or don't know very well. At most, maybe I know two or three songs. And it just came out of a recognition that I'd like to know more music, more music from the last 60 years or so than what I know. And I have not been disappointed. I've had great guests every single week and really great albums, and I'm broadening my horizons. And hopefully the people that are listening are, learning about some music that they didn't know about, and at the very least, hopefully listening to some really good conversation.
Absolutely, yeah. Subscribe to it. You, Me, and an Album. You'll be glad you did. And finally, you're going to be a New Englander. I'm excited about this.
As am I, yeah. Just actually a month from today, probably, is when I will be heading east. I've been in Montana for the last 5 years. And, yes, life is taking my wife and I and all of our two horses, three cats and one dog, out to Massachusetts. So looking forward to joining you there in Red Sox country.
Excellent. And we'll be glad to have you in the same time zone, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Al Melchior covers baseball like nobody else does, fantasy baseball for The Athletic. Check him out on Twitter as well. Al, always great to talk with you. Hope your teams have a great season, and we'll catch up with you again down the road.
Sounds great, Rich, and same for you.
Al Melchior on DataTest.